Following is a Journey into Comics Network production.
Hey guys, Dick here from Podcastrophy Podcast, and you are listening to the best of the Journey into Comics Network, where we take the best of each episode from the week and we highlight it for you and bring it to you in the form of this podcast today. If you want, just take a breather, relax, listen to the best of the Journey into Comics Network. And, just do me a favor. Just do me one solid favor. Try to make every day a big dick day. Thanks, guys.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Journey into Comics.
And Nate, they were pretty action-packed episodes, albeit at times, episode two, I felt, was a little bit jarring and... We don't really know in some cases where they are. In some cases we do, because we see some familiar landscapes. But in other cases, it's a sort of like they don't really tell you exactly where they are.
Yeah, this is it's weird because you briefly spoiled me on episode one, and it's weird because everything you talked about, you did such a good job of not actually like. Telling me anything about the episode. Like, you gave me some key points, but it didn't really unfold the episode for me. I loved the very light Negan interaction between Rick and the group and the yelling and the way the cars are set up and everything. But to speed into episode two of this season, the thing that got me was how, sorry, I got to clear my throat a little bit there, but it was interesting because, like, right out of the gate of episode two, it's like, boom, some shit has happened. But you don't know where that shit has happened or why it's happening. And then all of a sudden, they're working on this grand plan of siege, of taking over stuff. And there were some really poignant scenes in this episode I want to talk about with you. There's some stuff with Rick that's really interesting. There's a really crazy thing at the end here. To kind of start off, you had... Ezekiel and Carol and company, some of the members of the kingdom, were coming through some smoke and maybe had been hit with some sort of grenade that had derailed them or something. You're not really given the full story of what the fuck happened to them, but something has happened to them. And that's one thing I want to say about this season too, Brando. I feel like this season is more a bunch of vignettes. Like, every part of the episode is a different vignette of a story. And they're just giving you snippets of a totally different perspective of everything and still trying to tell an overarching story. It's kind of a Tarantino way to do it, where although almost all these characters are going to be interacting, the way things are done are different for each group of characters. Damn, I had to clear my throat again. Jesus. But, I loved that early on in the episode we got the quote that I was so curious about before the season actually started with Morgan saying, "I don't die." Because that's like a curse. Hey, let me just say I don't fucking die. And then I was like pretty convinced at one point in the episode he was fucking dead. I was like, holy shit. Like, they didn't even make mention of it. Like, boom, game over and move on.
I know, like, they opened up that door and they just get mowed down. And we're like, oh.
By their own dudes. Right? Am I right by that?
I don't think they were their own dudes. But no, they weren't their own dudes because they were saviors. But then, like, the other group that was down the hall ended up in a firefight with them. And then they retreated. And then that's when Morgan kind of woke up or came to. And I always find it really creepy when, like, someone has been brutally wounded, fatally wounded. They're basically dead, but they're not dead yet. They're just barely there alive. So, like, they're laying there and there's nothing they can do, and they're dead. But like, you see, like, they're still breathing and they're still moving. They're still aware. They're still knowing everything. And so, like, all they can do is lay there and just accept their fate.
Do you know that this is a dark thing to just transition into, but we're talking about The Walking Dead, so we might as well keep it real a little bit. Did you know that after you die, your brain is alive for like 10 minutes and is actually aware that you have died. The recent studies have just found.
Yeah, well, more like the consciousness is alive.
There you go.
Where like you're like, I don't know if it's like your own, you know, your own space in your head where you think and where you exist.
Yeah, here's the weird thing I'm actually glad we're talking about this. It got brought up because I never got to express this thought with anyone. My thing is, if your consciousness is aware you're dead, right? And they have this mark of 10 minutes, right? Does that 10 minutes of consciousness feel like eternity? Because if you ever closed your eyes and had everything like shut off from the world, 1 minute can feel like an hour. You know, time moves so slow. So then that like that presents a whole totally different fucked up thing of like the longest 10 minutes of your life is like the fading out moments of your consciousness trying to figure out what the fuck is happening now. That's weird.
Yeah, and that can be scary too because things aren't working. You know, your body isn't working anymore. You know, just imagine what your mind goes through when you can't breathe. And like it panics, right?
I don't like it. I don't like it. Change subject. Okay,
so then
something else.
You can't breathe, and it's trying so hard to breathe, and you go, well, I guess I can't breathe. So then you just end up accepting the fact that you're, it's just something like I can't even begin to fathom it because like so many times that like you hear of people who either like die and then come back in, it's like it's usually something traumatic or you know where like they lose consciousness or something. It's not something where they like, I mean it's very interesting and because I want to say I heard that just the other day as well about the whole consciousness thing and it does kind of tie into a little bit to what we're talking about.
Yeah, because Morgan, now what happened there? Was he faking it? What do you think? Was that like a plot? It's weird how that whole thing went down because, again, they are getting ready to fire on that group that's in that room. They bust the door open and shoot. Those guys go down, but then another group of guys immediately shoots at them. Morgan looks like he gets hit. He goes down. And then when he gets up, he apparently has not been hit, which is confusing. Why the fuck did he fall down? Was he protecting himself and like, oh, well, they'll think I'm just dead and leave me alone? Or was this like something? Everybody's scheming right now in The Walking Dead, and I'm not sure what the fuck is planned and what's not, you know? Because every time I think I know that they've got something planned, it's like something kind of different.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's also a lot of... there's a lot of conflict going on. There's the conflict with Jesus and Tara, you know,
yep,
and all that going on. And even a little bit with Morgan. I like them diving into the psyche of Morgan. He's in the show, in these seasons, he's been one of the more interesting characters, going from his character arc of like his redemption with the Buddhism type thing. And like being at one to now in this season having to come to terms with killing people
because we're at war.
And but now it's almost like he's breathing too much into it where he's kind of disconnecting himself from that, where it's like, well, we came here to kill them. Let's kill them. Who cares?
They stop being people and they start just being targets.
Yes. And it's so I feel like he's going to like, this is kind of like a conflicting thing for him. It's almost like he's almost all or nothing sometimes.
Yeah, Morgan's thing is interesting because it actually all ties in together nicely. So there's the firefight, Morgan goes down, there's the roundup, and Jesus and Tara have kind of drawn on a group with their group, and Jesus is like, trust me, they're not gonna fucking wanna die. They're going to hear what we have to say and trust us. And it's really weird because earlier, Jesus is doing the same thing. When they're in the firefight, there was the guy who pissed his pants. And Jesus is like, no, this guy's got his hands up. He's surrendering. We shouldn't fuck with him. And then he's wrong, and now he's in this situation, and Tara's got to like figure it out. And of course, Jesus gets out of it and then just ties him up. But then when they find this other group, Jesus is persistent again. He goes, look, they're surrendering. We can't just fucking kill these people. Then we're no better than Negan. Again, going back to it's not just about them. It's bigger than them. Rick's message of, if Rick can say to everyone, it's not about Rick Grimes, then everyone else can go, it's not about me either. It's about the group as a whole. So they draw their guns on this group. This group says that they'll surrender. They all drop their guns. And then, Morgan comes out of, beating the shit out of everybody else that's in there by, just whipping the fuck out of his guns and just being a badass. He comes out, and it's almost like he's in a war zone of PTSD. And he's looking, and he's so confused. He's like, wait, they're not shooting these people who could easily be taken out right now. The whole point is for us to finish this thing and to take out all known threats because you don't know who to trust. And I think even earlier, was it Daryl or somebody said something about, you don't know who's a spy? We can't trust anybody. You don't know who's a spy. and that was interesting, too, seeing them in the first episode lead the walkers. Lead the herd for the first time and how they kind of did that. I liked that they finally brought that aspect of the comics into this story and really utilized it. But to go back to the second episode, I'm interested in seeing what happens with this group that they've captured and not killed. And Brandon, I want you to help me. That fucking weird looking guy, what's he have to do with Morgan? The long red haired dude that's smiling at him. He was in an earlier season somewhere. He did something or was that last season maybe? I can't fucking recall. But that dude, because I was like, oh, Morgan's going to kill that guy. For some reason, I felt like that was the right call. And Morgan wanted to kill that guy, and then they didn't let him. And I just can't remember where he's from.
Well, he said, oh, you got transferred here too?
Yeah, who the fuck was that? Gosh. I can't remember.
At first, I thought that they were somebody different, right? Like when Morgan first came in, but those were the wolves.
Yeah.
So it's not them. Because all the
wolves. Was that the guy that was responsible for killing that kid that Morgan was training last season?
Shit. I don't remember.
I know. Last season's a blur to me, dude. Season 7 came and went. We got into the shit. We got a lot of cool Negan moments, and then now we are at season 8, and it's all out war. Fuck yeah! And I like what they're doing so far.
Yeah, the stuff with Rick in this episode was really cool. When him and Daryl are in this building, and they go to the second floor, and they're looking for this heavy artillery, and Rick ends up going fisticuffs with this dude. And Rick ends up killing him. And Rick goes into that room that guy was guarding, and it was a little baby.
Yeah, and the tattoo on the dude's chest is the giveaway that that was the baby's dad. Because he had a tattoo on his chest that said Grace before God. And her name was Gracie. And it was just oh, fuck. Then Rick has the horror of realizing what he's just done. Because this guy, it's like at this point, maybe they've been fed some misinformation, and this guy really was just a dude who just had his baby there, and maybe he was a part of Negan's saviors, or maybe not. Maybe he had nothing to do with it or whatever, but he was going to protect his own, and Rick was just the better man because Rick's like a badass, He's just got all the skills, and he's on fight mode right now, and as we've seen with Rick in previous seasons, when his eyes turn red and he's got that bloodlust, he's not really thinking with his right mind until after his actions are done.
Yeah.
And this was an example where he was just like, oh, fuck me. Immediately he was like, what if that would have been me and it was Judith in this room? Then what? And that starts fucking with him and his mentality. So all this shit is overwhelming him. And then Brando, how about a blast from the past this season? Holy shit. This is the guy who I actually thought they were going to utilize for Fear the Walking Dead.
I also did, too, until I heard a big rumor about what they're going to do for the crossover.
Ooh, do we need to get into that now?
I can't remember if we talked about it. I know I talked about it with somebody, but I can't remember if we talked about it on the show. But they brought back Morales, and they actually had to have Rick like tell the audience who he was, because it's been so long. And I've often wondered what happened to Morales. And of course, he is in the first season. He had his wife and two kids, and they separate with the main group heading off to the CDC. And Morales and his family, I think they go to Alabama or Arkansas and to check on family or something.
Yeah, they said they're heading south.
And so
further south.
So that was the last that we saw of him. And here he is holding Rick at gunpoint, knowing exactly who he is, and then saying that he's Radio the Saviors. So he's a savior.
Damn, I love it. It's a long-term payoff that you're not expecting, and I wonder if this was a last-second decision, like, man, we could finally do something with that fucking guy, or if this was maybe, you know, because by the time the show started, Negan's story arc was just starting in the comic. I think issue 100 came out right around the time that season one of The Walking Dead dropped in 2012. We might have to fact-check that at some point.
But, Walking Dead started in 2010.
The show did in 2010? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Maybe. Nah, 2010 would have been way too soon, I feel. 2012 would have been when 100 came out. So I feel like maybe I'm a little bit off. I don't know. But it just seems like the long-term payoff for this is interesting, because it seems out of nowhere a little bit, but maybe they've got some shit to back this claim up, and they've planned this for a long time. You know, they are good about doing stuff like that. And with Morales now back, it seems like we're going to maybe get a little bit of his backstory. What the fuck has he been up to? How the fuck is he a savior? When did he meet Negan? Mm-hmm. Is he a big fan? What happened to his family? What happened to his kids? That's sad to think about. Are they with him? That's cool. And is his wife Negan's wife now? Because that's how it works, kind of, maybe. That's fucked up. There's a lot of questions here with this guy coming back.
Nate.
Bro.
Walking Dead issue 100.
Yes, sir.
Was released on July 11th, 2012.
July of 2012. Okay, so I was right on that year.
It is
and
sold,
Walking Dead the show.
It sold 335,082 copies.
Shit.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of The Poor Rapport. I am your host, Andrew Poor, and I want to thank you for joining me. So one thing that came out recently through a book called The Last Republicans, which is a book about George W. Bush and George H.W. Bush, where some of the stuff they said was very negative towards President Trump. Like George H.W. Bush called Trump a blowhard, and that he also voted for a Democrat in the 2016 election. George W. Bush said that he voted none of the above for president and then Republican down the rest of the list. And he said that Trump would destroy the idea of a Republican president in all but name. And then Trump's White House then attacked the only living U.S. Republican presidents by releasing this statement. It said, if one presidential candidate can disassemble a political party, it speaks volumes about how strong a legacy its past two presidents really had. And that begins with the Iraq War, one of the greatest foreign policy mistakes in American history. President Trump remains focused on keeping his promises to the American people by bringing back jobs. I'm trying to see what I wrote down here. By bringing back jobs, promoting an American-first foreign policy, and standing up for the forgotten men and women of this great country. And this comes after, last episode I talked about how he praised President Jimmy Carter for defending him and saying that he's gotten kind of a bad rap and he's under increased pressure. And he's also praised George H.W. Bush and George W. Bush in the past, regarding the One America appeal or everything else they've done. So it seems like you're only praised by Trump until you say something to criticize him, and then you're on his shit list, and he's just gonna do everything he can to kind of belittle you and turn focus from you and use this as another distraction ploy against all the stuff that's going on lately, especially with everything with that the Manafort and the Papadopoulos and everything that's been going on from a judicial standpoint with regarding the Russian influence on the presidential campaign and everything else. And along with the presidential campaign we had last year, there's also been stuff with Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders and the DNC and all that stuff that happened on the Democratic side going into the election, and how there was that the Hillary Clinton campaign essentially paid off the debt of the DNC in exchange for more power, which isn't something that should be okay, and it caused some issues there. So I'll definitely dive into that more on episode 11, which I think will be a real treat for you guys. But I wanted to go into this, and also another big report that happened middle of last week by the time you're listening to this episode, which is that a Twitter employee on their last day deactivated President Donald Trump's @RealDonaldTrump's Twitter account for about, I think, 11 minutes, 12 minutes, something like that. It was under a half hour that Trump's Twitter account was deactivated. If you went and searched him or Real Donald Trump, you'd get back nothing. And people freaked out, saying that, like, Twitter has enough power that someone could access the Trump account and tweet something incendiary or war-related or something. It could cause worldwide panic and chaos, which I guess in theory is true. Trump has made his own personal Twitter account a sounding board and a megaphone, and stuff he says gets put in news articles. Stuff he said is North Korea is referred to as a declaration of war. His Twitter is a very powerful thing, and to have it accessed by a low-level Twitter employee who actually turned out to be, as of this past weekend, was a third-party contractor that was working for Twitter. So it's saying that who has access to these high-level accounts, and I'm assuming after this, Twitter is definitely probably has done new security protocol to prevent something like this from happening again. So I thought that was pretty chaotic, and I saw that sitting at my hotel, and I was like, oh my gosh, what is going on here? So I thought it was kind of funny that all it took was someone in a customer service role at Twitter as a third-party contractor to just disable the most powerful Twitter account in the world. So I thought I was just shocked by that. And Twitter's in their own fire for their issues with the 2016 campaign. So, like, everything keeps circling back to the 2016 campaign. And I know as we get into the 2018 election season for a lot of representatives and senators, and then go into the 2020 re-election for Trump, which will most likely happen if he's still president, as well as whoever the Democratic Party decides to throw into the ring, which will probably be someone new, since both 2016 candidates are getting up there in age, and I think at this point the Democratic Party needs a younger, somewhat established, someone who can counteract what Trump represents. So I know as we get into this election season, that's probably going to influence a lot of what my show is going to be about, but that's still a few years off, so definitely a lot to hope for there. And I guess with that, I will kind of wrap up my political news portion. There's also a lot of Kevin Spacey news that's worth talking about. Since last we talked about, there was the release that when he was 26 and working on Broadway, he propositioned a 14-year-old actor also on Broadway in his house. And since then, there's been a lot of reports that have come out by the people stepping forward. There's been issues of him creating a hostile work environment on the Netflix show House of Cards, and House of Cards has released a statement recently saying, well, House of Cards season 6 is on indefinite hiatus. And then that was on Monday of last week, and then by the end of the week, they said that Netflix will no longer have anything to do with House of Cards that involves Kevin Spacey, which can be one of two things. It can mean that House of Cards is going to end, or House of Cards will move forward and Kevin Spacey will be fired, and they will move forward with either whatever they've shot to create a quick death for him, and then move forward with Robin Wright's Claire Underwood to finish off the season. Or they'll do something else. They might scratch it ultimately to go with one of their spinoffs they talked about. Or if this show's been tainted enough by what Kevin Spacey did in the past or did recently, that they may just call it quits. They've already pulled the Gore Vidal biopic that that Kevin Spacey had completed, so there's definitely been a lot of issues coming out of that, and I know it's a story that's continuing to develop, so I'm definitely going to dive into that on episode 11 as well.
Red meat, we crave sustenance.
Guys, we are not invading my aunt.
We were talking about, like, what do we want to do tonight for foodies? We got to come up with an idea. Mm-hmm. And I just threw out, like, why don't we do fish tacos? Because there's the line in the movie about fish tacos and then pineapple, Pineapple Express, blah, blah, blah. It kind of sells itself.
Yeah, we had this wonderful pineapple from Aldi's yet again.
Pineapple Express used to be my night movie for, like, 6 months. For real. Because it was just the first time I saw it, it was so funny. Starts in black and white. It's like a you know, movie from the 40s kinda, and then it transitions to this like modern day hilarious stoner flick. Franco and Rogan, they can do no wrong in my book. Like every movie they've done together, I'm just like, you win all of my votes.
This is the End is amazing.
This is the End is one of my all time favorite Rogan and
Franco. That is one of Nate's all time favorite movies.
Like
me and Keith Evans, we went to go see what was it? Girls Trip, maybe?
Yeah.
The one with, like, the all-black cast.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to go see that, and we both agreed that Girls Trip was, like, the funniest movie to come out since This is the End.
Wow. That's high praise.
It was very good.
I'll have to see it.
We are going to check out Girls Trip.
Yeah, we haven't watched any, like, new movies that have just recently come out. We haven't been in the movies in a while.
It just came out.
Spidey. It's the last time.
Yeah, Spider-Man was the last movie we went and saw.
Looking at going to Thor.
What?
Looking at going to Thor.
Yeah, we wanted to go see Thor. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's getting amazing reviews at the box office.
It looks like it's going to be one of the better of the Thor movies, because the first two were super snooze fest, in my opinion.
Well, the first two are so trying to do Thor the old stiff, tight way of thinking about Thor.
Right. He's this Norse and now guy. With, I think, the success of Guardians of the Galaxy and that franchise and that humor, that they're trying to get that with this new Thor release.
And Hemsworth is so funny. He was great as the host on SNL.
He was really funny.
So
he's adorable. He was funny.
80% of Thor Ragnarok is improv.
Really?
Really.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Taika Waititi, who did What We Do in the Shadows.
Yes, that's amazing. I posted a link to it yesterday, last night on my Facebook. Oh, it was We're Werewolves, Not Swearwolves. That's such a good line in the movie.
I didn't see it.
You haven't seen it yet?
No.
It's amazing. You need to watch it.
Okay.
I think I saw it when it came out.
I'm actually going to get the Blu-ray here pretty soon.
Oh, yeah? Sweet. Is that good, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll watch it.
Yeah. Taika Waititi is a director from New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually also plays a CGI character in Thor Ragnarok.
Oh, really?
Who's apparently like the show stealer. Because he just like... The humor is just so perfect, you know.
And of course, everybody loves Loki.
And you have Mark Ruffalo,
yeah,
as Hulk.
Oh, I can't wait to see this movie all of a sudden.
The cast is amazing, and then what is her name? She's playing Hela. I can't think of her name. Moving forward,
that chick with the British accent. Does she have a British accent?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so. I don't know her name.
Yeah, I totally biffed
that. I'm excited about this movie. I think it's going to be good.
Yeah.
Sometimes I feel like I'm going to get like Marvel fatigue.
What are you guys going to go see in like 2 weeks from today? Or are you going to go see the Justice League?
Yeah, we're going to go see Justice League.
Yeah, that's like
Justice League.
That's like a JIC network get-together we're doing that has no podcasting because it's overtaken everything and we just want like a day where we can all just hang out and not have to be committed to sitting in front of microphones.
So we're just going to go and see this movie.
Yeah. Yeah, it should be a lot of fun. Brandon has maybe talked about doing some kind of like...
I don't know how I'm feeling about the Justice League movie. I feel like I would need to watch a trailer of it again just to like get in that headspace. Batfleck, you know? I don't know. I hope that this movie is a little bit lighter and I don't know.
The movie's definitely going to be lighter.
But Gal Gadot's in it, right?
Yeah.
Well, I love her, so I'll see it just for that.
Isn't Jason Momoa in it too?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, he's in that too.
And
okay, yeah.
You know,
oh, and then the whole Ezra Miller thing.
As the Flash, you know what's weird? I think he's actually going to be a better part of the movie. He's not my Barry Allen.
No.
Like, he's not Grant Gustin, sorry.
And no one ever will be.
Correct. But
he will. Grant Gustin will always be the Flash for me.
Correct. He's done an amazing job with that role.
Yeah, I love the Flash. And we didn't get to watch last week's episode, so we need to catch up.
Oh, God. And Stranger Things has come out.
I know, and we're like on episode 5 of that, so we've only got a few more to go.
Yeah. I'm on the beginning of episode 5.
Us Dig too. Dug.
Yeah. That's where we stopped. That's weird.
That's great. Let's all binge watch the shit out of that tonight after this podcast, and then we'll talk about it next time.
Cool. I'm down. Totally.
Let me have a sip of your pop.
Sure. You need some pop?
I do.
No
Thanks.
Problem. We can do
I'm
that
thirsty.
On the podcast today. So we're going to talk about a wide array of things. There's a lot of different like news things in the movie world. A lot of dark shit going on with like the different allegations against different people. And like
Lauren had brought it up earlier in reference to Kevin Spacey.
Man.
And how there's allegations of sexual misconduct like years ago.
But even people on the House of Cards teams have claimed that there's been stuff like that happening.
Really?
Correct.
This is very disappointing news for me personally because I've always been fond of Kevin Spacey.
Same.
I love all of the movies that he's done, and
I
it's
really
just like,
him in the
oh.
Life of David Gale. That was a really good one.
He's been in a lot of fucked up movies.
Yeah.
I keep thinking about American Beauty.
Seven. He was in Seven.
Oh my God, it's Seven and The Usual
Seven.
Suspects.
The Negotiator is one that comes to mind if you ever saw it with Samuel L. Jackson. It's he's spot on as the good bad guy, you know? And that's a role he nails. But it's bizarre because there's some stuff going on where like okay. Kevin Spacey was fired from House of Cards. House of Cards is effectively done.
Yeah, I heard that they were already planning on this being its last season before this all happened.
Correct.
That was like already announced.
Correct. And then now that's all been canceled. The show's pretty much done.
Right.
No Kevin Spacey, no show. It's over, right?
And now they're talking about a spinoff that doesn't include his character or whatever.
But also, Danny Masterson now has allegations against him.
I heard about that, too.
Here's the thing that I think is troublesome, and I want your guys' perspectives and be as brutally honest as you can. Is it fucking weird that Kevin Spacey got the axe and all this stuff because it was, homosexual activity, if you will, and the Danny Masterson thing is like a rape allegation, and he's not been fired from his show. Netflix has not done anything against Danny Masterson. Like, this stuff is very bizarre how, it seems like situationally.
Just because it was.
It's like the same kind of thing. And one was treated one way, and the situation has a slight difference, and one was treated a different way, and obviously has a slight other difference.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know enough details. I'm not educated enough on the subject to have an opinion about it.
Fair
you
enough.
Know?
Fair enough. I mean.
I would have to know, like. All of the details about that, like what are the actual allegations, like were there police reports filed, like I don't know.
Lots
I have
of
to
questions.
Think about that.
Yeah,
I don't want to think about that. That's tough.
Yeah.
That's super sad.
Thoughts?
I don't honestly even really know what the allegations were, like she was saying. Like I don't quite understand like completely what he's been accused of. I just know that it's been
well. What I've been reading lately on the interwebs, if you will, like I read an article just the other day about that actor Corey Feldman and how he was talking about how he's been a victim.
Yeah,
but everybody
show, he was going to have that show at Big Shots on Friday, but he canceled it because.
Oh, I didn't know it got canceled.
Yeah, he canceled it because there were like threats on his life.
Holy shit.
There's been some crazy stuff with that. He actually said.
Because he's coming out with accusing people.
He came out in 2011 though about being sexually abused, and they're just now like
right.
making a.
And well, the article I read was an interview with him, and he was talking about how this isn't news. He's been talking about it since like 1992 or 1993.
Correct, because
and he filed a police report back then in the 90s, but the police were more interested in trying to nail Michael Jackson, that they didn't give a fuck about some guy that was having a pedophile to like club in Hollywood for young teens or whatever. And he was the victim, and they were victim shaming him essentially. And his point of view is that he's been victim shamed like since the early 90s because all these people have money and all these people have power, and,
well, and then
nobody wants to fuck with that.
And then how interesting is it that he raised his voice in the 90s and he kind of went away as an actor for a
exactly.
long time?
You like, get blacklisted when you like, do shit like that, totally when you fuck with up. People's livelihoods, you know? And all of those people in Hollywood probably have like fixers that they can call and shut people up or pay people off or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
All that shit's deeply connected. It's fucking weird.
Either that or maybe I've just seen too many movies. I don't know.
How do you think about this latest Fantastic Four?
Fantastic Four, man. Okay, I gotta go
they
on a
cannot
little.
Cannot fucking get Fantastic Four. Right.
I gotta go on a little bit of a soapbox here because when the first Fantastic Four debuted, when it was first pitched, you know, I had seen in my youth a little bit of rumors on the old interwebs. And I was like, you know, at the time we had things like the first Thor movie,
mm-hmm.
you know, the origin Thor movie, the origin Iron Man movie, you know, we'll get into the origin stories and how I feel about those in a moment. But I thought, you know, this will kind of be cool because me as a comic and just kind of overall nerd fan, the Fantastic Four has never really been kind of my jam.
Neither.
You know,
never cared.
The Thing's kind of cool. Johnny Blaze is kind of cool. Or not Johnny Blaze, excuse me. Johnny Storm. I got all this Marvel stuff in my head and it's all kind of blended together. But I just, you know, Mr. Fantastic, cool, you're stretchy. Mm-hmm. Like you can bend yourself into a hammer. I've never seen Thing swing Mr. Fantastic as a hammer. You know, that would be something cool. And
teamwork makes the dream work.
Oh, man, that first Fantastic Four movie. I loved their iteration of Doctor Doom.
Yeah.
That was great.
Yeah, he did a good job.
I always forget his name as an actor, but, you know, he's one of my favorites, especially as a villain. He plays a fantastic villain. And then that movie just kept getting worse and worse. You know, Jessica Alba, super hot, made the movie almost tolerable
visually
and then the second one came out, and you know, I was still kind of reeling from the misery of the first one, and I was like, okay, it's got the Silver Surfer, it's gonna have Galactus, you know, they know based on their target audiences how they received the first movie, surely it can be no worse. And it was almost worse, and
really
on every level to me. I just
To you.
To me personally. This is all purely my opinion. I just... And then the latest one...
Let's hear this.
I have not seen it.
Oh.
And I will tell you why I have not seen it. When that was first teased, I'm like, okay, here is the time that they're gonna grab themselves up by the bootstraps and pull themselves from the ashes of this franchise. And I saw the first trailer. And I just paused, you know, and, mm-hmm. and I was just blank. I had nothing to say. Positive or negative, I was just completely flabbergasted that they went all the way back to the origin story, that everybody's a teenager, you know, characters aren't, you know, I'm trying to gather.
I'm going to say this. I never saw a trailer for that movie.
Well, you'd be glad you didn't, because you probably... So you've watched it, I take it.
I have watched it.
Okay. You probably would not have watched it had you seen the trailer.
I watched it just as a... I need to see how terrible... Everybody tells me how terrible this movie is. I need to watch it.
I'm going to watch it.
Do it. No, seriously.
Just, you know, not to... Just to give it the credit that it's due.
I want you to watch it, and I want you to go in with this perspective in mind. All right? I want you to go in there, one, with an open mind. Two, I want you to, like, watch this movie not watching it as a Fantastic Four movie.
Okay.
Treat it just like it's just some random ass movie.
Just a sci-fi movie.
Just some sci-fi movie. He's not the Thing. He's not Mr. Incredible or... Mr. Fantastic.
We're both doing it now.
Wow. He's not Dr. Doom. These characters are just...
People.
People. And they have powers. They get powers. And it's a movie. And I want you to watch this movie and then tell me what you think of it.
Okay.
Because if you go in there thinking it's a fan... Like, with the perspective, oh, I'm watching a Fantastic Four movie, you will be fucking disappointed.
All right.
Because it is fucking terrible as a Fantastic Four movie. Overall, as a movie, though, I can't say it was bad.
So are you giving it a 6 out of 10, just an overall movie?
I'm going to give it a 4 out of 10.
Oh, so even worse than I was going to say.
Yeah, I'm going to give it a 4, just because it's a Fantastic Four movie that's not a Fantastic Four movie.
Is it better than some of the B-movies that I've watched on TV the last couple years?
I don't know. I haven't seen any of those.
Piranha Iteration yes. 5, the yes, Piranha Strike Back. Okay.
It is better than the Sharknadoes and Mega
Sharknado,
Shark.
Sharknado, man.
Mega Shark versus
Sharktopus.
Sharktopus. Giant Octopus versus fucking Megalodon or whatever. All those sci-fi bullshit movies.
Hey, man.
Somehow all star Tara Reid.
You're bored on a Saturday. Tara Reid used to be hot.
She did. Even after the fake tits.
That raspy voice, man, gets me
You're
every
right.
time.
Dude, you don't know Alan Dawson, I don't think, but he said the exact same thing. He's like, man, she is so fucking cracked out and 16 packs of cigarettes a day.
Oh, yeah.
She just looks...
I mean, she's doing...
She looks so terrible
right
now.
She's grabbing Marble Reds, 3 or 4 of them at a time. Pulling the filters out and just toking
away.
But
he's like, God, she's so terrible looking right now, but that's that fucking voice. And I'm like, ugh.
Well, it's
I
so
agree.
Unique. You just look at A-list female leads.
Yeah.
There's nobody right off the top of my head that has a voice that's similar to hers. And I think that's one of the reasons I used to like her as an actress. I mean, even before she went cracked out. It's just because, you know, her lines of dialogue, however complex or non-complex that they were, I mean, I enjoyed listening to her voice.
Yeah.
So
I'd say the closest... Maybe this is reaching, but Jennifer Lawrence,
she definitely has a raspy voice.
She's got a little bit of rasp in there, and I mean, on top of just being absolutely gorgeous.
Oh yeah,
and like wow, fucking Jennifer Lawrence, man, celebrity crush number one.
She's not number one for me. She's in my top 5 for sure. Selma Hayek will always be my number one.
Wow, yeah,
she's
at
in
some
her fifties
she
and
was
she
mine.
Still looks good.
Oh
man.
Yeah, oh yeah.
But anyway, back on track with the my question to you is, the Marvel and Disney kind of universe right now has kind of played on this family entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether their film iterations of classic characters are accurate or otherwise, it's something that you can take your kids, your mom, your families. You can go and you can just be entertained.
Yes.
And DC, since, you know, Man of Steel, BVS, I have not seen Wonder Woman yet. So
would you like to borrow it?
No, I haven't.
Oh yeah, yeah. We talked about this.
I have it. Yeah. I haven't had the time. I'm trying, like everything in my life, I'm trying to get caught back up. That dad life, man. You're busy.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know about it. Hopefully someday I will know about that.
I hope you do. It's a magical experience.
It's one of the things I've always looked forward
to. I would
in
give
life.
You a child if I could, but I like mine. So.
I thought you were going to bear my child.
Well, I would do both of those.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, I I identify as a man. But do you think...
Not a male, a man.
Yeah. Do you believe that Disney is going to continue down this path of family entertainment? And with that dynamic, DC not trying to totally compete and step on Disney's toes and continue to go down the dark path that they have of my knowledge up until this point? Because like I said, I haven't seen Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman, it had a darkness to it. It was still on the more brighter, optimistic side of things of that particular universe
compared to the other two films.
Yeah.
Okay.
Have you seen Suicide Squad?
Yes.
Oh.
I enjoyed Suicide Squad.
I enjoyed it as well.
I
know what it is though.
Absolutely. There were a lot of things
much like BVS. I enjoyed it, but I know what it is. Well, and I know what's wrong.
I being a fan of all of these different universes.
Yes.
One of the things that, you know, you said keep an open mind when it comes to Fantastic Four. I think what we as fans do too many times when we go to one of those movies is we sit down with an open mind, whether, you know, we don't even plan. We're excited to be entertained.
Yeah.
And then from the onset of the movie until the credits start rolling, all we do as fans is nitpick it apart. And it can be anything.
Like, oh, that's not how that happens.
Right.
Or
and
terrible
rendition. That will ruin any experience for anybody.
Yeah.
And, you know, the kind of going back and snaking around here, the origin films for the Marvel movies. I personally don't care for Thor and Iron Man. But what you have to give testament to, I was entertained.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of been Disney's thing from the get-go, is focus on entertainment, kind of skew the lines of, you know, the canon when they can, which I'm not, normally I would be rabbling in the street because, you know, that's not how it was. And they've done a really good job of keeping that entertainment value to kind of overshadow some of the things that aren't necessarily correct.
Good luck.
I'm like, well, how much extra? She goes, enough. I'm like, enough to pick up my Switch? And she goes, yeah, go ahead. I'm like, that's $367.
Right.
I mean, it's a little bit more than yours because you got your deal on the marketplace anyway.
Yes.
But even like you got just a deal on a standard edition. Mine's the Mario Odyssey one with the case with the game. It's $380 retail price. And in fact, it might be a little bit less than $360. Well, no, with tax, it was over $400.
Okay.
So that's so they put that into it. You know. So I've paid just over $35, $36, $37 on it to put it down, and then I'm gonna pick it up when I get the Christmas bonus. But we had enough to go get it, and she told me we had, you know, so much money, and then she wanted to get some clothes, and I'm just like,
nail biter.
Oh man. Well, number one, different kind of TMI. I had a really bad chafe that day from work. Dude, mother... You know what I'm talking about, okay?
Yes, I do.
I remember when you got your first chafe.
Yes, because I started gaining weight recently.
Well, yes, and you never had one. And maybe it's a little bit of... I mean, because I get them, you know? I'm a bigger dude. I got some thighs on me, all right? You got some stuff down there that rubs around, and some days it's hot, and it sucks. Well, this is one of those days where I basically gritted my teeth so I didn't have to walk like a cowboy down the hallway in front of everybody.
Right.
You know, I'm like, I'm bleeding. I have to be bleeding. And I wasn't bleeding. But so there was that. Number one, I didn't want to have to walk all the way through Walmart to go all the way to the back of the store to pick up my Switch.
Right.
I would have been, I would have grabbed a cart. And what I normally do is I just lean on it completely and I'm just like barely moving. Or I could have grabbed one of those motorized carts and just bit my shame. Dude's like, you don't need that. Shut up. I can't walk, and I need to get my Switch.
Right.
But I wanted to go pick it up.
And the idea was like, I want to play Mario because it's brand new. It's right, relevant. Right. And of course, spoiler alert, you might have got it. We'll talk about that. And then, you know, she told me how much total we had. And I said no. And then I told her that we both shouldn't splurge. We have the extra, and we'll be completely fine if we both splurge right now. But that's what we would have done easily when we had money. And, you know, if it, with anybody who's ever been bad at impulse buys or finances, like I'm pretty bad at impulse. I really am pretty bad at it. Yeah. Not to the point where I'm spending hundreds of dollars.
Right. But enough.
But if I have enough money, like, to pay my stuff off or to pay whatever I'm doing right now, I've got a little bit extra. You know, the conservative guy is going to save their money. The Brando guy is going to be like, what games can I buy?
Yep.
So yep. I was like, we need to just, you know, we sort of followed the Dave Ramsey setup. I don't know if anybody's ever heard of that guy. He's like a money saver dude. He has a radio show. Back before I got into podcasts and I wanted to listen to talk radio, he was the only one I could find that wasn't all political, all religious or anything like that. He is a little religious because he actually does have his – you can do classes set up at churches across the country and take his economy class or whatever to help with your finances.
Right.
And to go – and you can buy his book and all that stuff. It's really pretty simple. And we kind of like – with what we did, with the asterisks – did it all at once. We went right to step three.
Right.
So, like, that's what we need to do. We need to keep this. We need to break the habit. You know, we really need to because we have goals. We want to get a new house. We want to get, you know, we want to get this. We want to get that. We're not going to do that if we just make excuses and make this, make that. So I said no. So I didn't get a Switch. I don't have a pickup this week.
That's okay.
That is perfectly fine because.
But I do.
I'm going to get it. But that was my story of the non-pickup for the week and my update. I guess there's my own personal. We are debt-free, and we are like. Hooray. Well, I mean, other than as you said to myself, but it's. I really shouldn't notice it that bad. Not really.
Hopefully not.
I mean, it's only. I know how much it is, and I might have already said it. I don't remember.
No, you didn't.
I didn't. Okay. It's kind of hard because, like, when you're sitting here just chilling out on the podcast, and I know I've told you.
Yeah.
And I know I've told some other people. So it's not that I don't mind telling people. It's just like, I don't really want, like, as many people as possible to hear this, to really know all the intimate details about my life.
Right.
But what to do? You have some pickups for your Switch.
I do. So we're going to go in order here. As of the podcast that will be airing today... No.
Yeah. No. Well,
yeah,
no.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's airing next week.
No. It's when it's airing this week because the last one was Mike made the Switch.
They went up yesterday.
Oh, so it is next week. Okay. So on this, so during that podcast, I was talking about trading stuff in to get Mario Odyssey because there was a bonus trade-in.
There was the 40% bonus.
So, yeah, still fuck GameStop. Okay, so I brought in some PS4 games that, you know, and then, like, Skyrim. I didn't bring Skyrim. I brought Fallout 4, a couple other games. So I brought Mario Kart. They only gave me $8 for Mario Kart.
Wow.
Yeah. I watched as each one ring up, and... So I ended up getting this for like $12. Okay, it's not bad.
It's not bad. I mean,
it's not bad. But I ended up trading like 10 things. So
again, with the long term collector, if you really want to get that stuff back later on, you can.
So we're gonna go ahead and slide this aside, and we'll talk about this.
Yeah, we'll actually do it because you actually played in. Did you?
Yeah, right. Well, part of it.
Okay, so you haven't like completed it. You haven't done the 100%.
Oh no. No.
Okay.
I have 200 moons.
Out of 500?
Out of 500.
Okay, so you're a ways.
Yeah. So on that, it's a great game. We'll discuss that in detail. So after I purchase this, I'm not super fond of the Joy-Cons. I'm getting there, but I'm not super fond of them.
They're not bad.
They're not bad, but they're not great. I don't like the ergonomics of the I guess the controller dock, what you would call it,
like the how it holds, and it's kind of like this.
Yeah, it's not ergonomically correct. So I went out and purchased this, and it is like the Pro Controller. It feels very similar to the Pro Controller in my hand, very similar, but it is not. This is a Power A wired controller plus the Zelda edition.
Now it has to be wired to play.
Has to be wired to play.
And that's why you put your Switch over there.
No, actually. I put my Switch over there because the Joy-Con was when I sit in my chair because I have like blocked. What is that chair called? I can't remember. I always call it a half moon chair.
You sit in a wicker basket, essentially.
Pretty much.
Like a big bowl.
So what
you're,
I do
you're is... a giant bowl of pebbles.
Yes. So, giant bowl of crazy because I'm in the middle of it.
Well, like, I was thinking like Fruity Pebbles or like some sort of cereal.
Yeah. So the way I sit in it, I cross one leg up and put my other leg up on my footrest. This is how I play. It's the most comfortable position for me to play in that chair. When I do... it is generally my left leg that comes up. The Switch is on the left side. What happens is that it blocks out the controller through my leg. So I'll be moving, and then if I just right, I lose it all. And it's killed me multiple times, and it's actually pissed me off a lot. So I ended up buying a 15-foot cable, HDMI cable. And it works great. Now I can hear the system turn on. But I bought this because I was really mad at the fact that I kept dropping during Odyssey. And it's essentially a 64. It's Mario Sunshine or Super Mario Sunshine or Super Mario 64.
I've heard a lot of comparisons to Mario Sunshine.
It's very, very similar to Sunshine, which is one of my favorite Mario games. So I love it. But I kept having blackout moments on the controller, and I would fall to my death. And I was getting really mad. So I went and purchased this.
Yeah, I've actually heard that the left one was giving people a lot of problems.
So it might just be one of those things. It's actually the controller that is doing is the left one. So I went out and purchased this. It's good, but it's not.
The new packs of Cards Against Humanity, the Weed Pack and the Period Pack, and we thought it would be a good time to play them with you.
Yeah, well, we wanted to review the cards for the first time since we haven't played them yet.
Exactly. And we're only going to use those packs. So we have just dealt out all of the cards, and we're going to draw new ones. What?
I'm ready.
Are you ready to
start?
I'm ready.
Somebody has to pick a black card first, right?
I have the fewest cards, so probably not me.
Okay.
I hate going first.
I'll go first.
Okay.
First black card. Okay. It says, hold up. I gotta deal with blank, then I'ma smoke this. Clearly that was from the Weed Pack.
I'm reading through some of my white cards and they're just...
Are they terrible?
What even?
Great.
Can you read it for me one more time?
Sure. Hold up. I gotta deal with blank, then I'ma smoke this.
All right. Thank you.
We're not gonna hand them to you, are we?
I will come and collect them from you. Or unless you want to just... No, I have to come get them, right?
I mean, if Joanna can reach over here, then
I don't mind. I can stand up. I'm good.
Yeah. Where is Nate? He said he would hand deliver.
Yeah,
the
what
cards.
The fuck?
There we go.
Okay.
This system works.
Okay. I'm going to shuffle these two cards in my hand. Like, it'll make a difference. Oh, no. Okay, black card again said, hold up. I got to deal with blank, then I'm going to smoke this. Oh, Jesus Christ. Oh, man. Why did we decide to play this fucking game? Okay, hold up. I got to deal with Snoop Dogg, then I'm going to smoke this. That's a good one. Hold up. I got to deal with pussy lips of all shapes and sizes, then I'm going to smoke this. I'm definitely going to pick the pussy lips of all shapes and sizes. I mean, I got it, right? That was Joanna?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Joanna. Okay, so it's your...
You go that way. Joanna's turn. Last.
Okay. Snoop Dogg.
It makes sense. I had to reread this about 3 times in my head because it uses like inappropriately. And I hate talking that way and it didn't seem natural.
Okay. Your brain doesn't work that way.
Yeah, it just really fucked me up there. You know what's like... really funny when you think about it, blank.
These cards are insane. I just want to just read all the cards on the thing because it's funny. Could you read it one more time?
Yeah. You know what's like really funny when you think about it? Blank. It's pretty much you're just answering a question.
I'm gonna play it just so that it can be read. Not because I think it will win.
Oh my god, some of these cards are like the worst things I've ever read. And that's I listened exactly to the last Butt Stuff episode, by the way, which had some pretty nasty shit in it. I was pleasantly surprised and also appalled at Andrew for giving you those questions to read. Like, those were nasty.
I loved those.
That was really funny. I was laughing my questions. Ass off.
I just feel like we do them a lot.
Okay.
Which is not necessarily a bad thing.
Okay, I'm just going to shuffle these two cards.
Yeah, shuffle away.
You know what's, like, really funny when you think about it? Drinking Beyonce's Diva Cup and becoming immortal.
Oh my god.
I told you.
Clearly that was from the period, Pat.
Oh my goodness.
I'm glad I didn't have to read that card.
You know, it's like really funny when you think about it. Eating all the skin off of a rotisserie chicken.
That is the best.
Rotisserie chicken.
Yes, for the win.
Gosh. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that got me. I was giggling pretty hard with that one. I had to play it.
I have literally done that.
Yeah. All right, Caitlin, it's your turn.
Okay. Here's the pitch. James Franco and Seth Rogen are trying to score some weed, and then blank happens.
I got it.
You got it.
I got it.
Okay.
I don't know.
Time to shuffly shuffle. Man, this is taxing. Okay. Here's the pitch. James Franco and Seth Rogen are trying to score some weed, and then full bush happens. That seems likely.
Yeah, that sounds likely.
And then Ancient Aliens happens. That seems equally as likely.
Correct. That sounds like a movie.
I'm going to go with Ancient Aliens.
Damn. You got it.
Aliens.
Is it my turn?
Yes.
Okay. Everyone is staring at you because you're blank.
Oh.
And I had to read it bitchy like that. Because it was from the period pack, I'm assuming.
I'm trying to, like, can you read things that are not mean for me to make you read?
It's okay. Fire away. The card says, everyone is staring at you because you're blank.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll come get it.
Here you go. Drink that coffee, girl.
Oh, yeah, it's super early. Oh, I gotta shuffle.
Wouldn't want to read one in the wrong order.
Correct. Okay, everyone is staring at you because you're smoking a joint with former President Barack Obama.
That would be awesome.
Okay. Everyone is staring at you because you're smoking a blunt butt-ass naked. I'm going to go with smoking the blunt butt-ass naked. Caitlin, for the win.
Yes.
My God.
I do what I can.
Yeah, all of these cards have been pretty good so far.
I agree.
I need to consult with a professional.
Oh. Gretchen. Uh-oh.
Do you want me to read it?
Yes.
Oh, hey.
Speak loudly into the microphone.
Instead of playing a card this round, everyone must stare at the cards are while making a sound you'd make after tasting something delicious.
What?
What? The cards are. I thought you said stare at where the cards are.
The card czar? As in, like, the Russian king?
Yes, you have to stare at Joanna and make a sound when you taste something delicious.
Oh, like yummy sounds?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Okay.
I would get
that. Well, I'm pretty good at making yummy sounds, seeing as I have a podcast about food.
True.
Shameless plug, Foodies Watching Movies. You can hear that on Journey to Comics Network.
I'm literally crying.
So we have to make yummy sounds now?
And then I have to
while looking
pick a
at
winner.
Joanna.
This seems oddly sexual.
I know, this is turning into something that I wasn't anticipating.
Right?
All right, whoever turns me on more wins.
Well, should I ask what the prize is?
The card.
Oh. Yeah, never mind.
You know that game we're playing?
Oh, well, we were turning this into something else. Never mind. Let's just make yummy sounds and move on with our lives.
If I can stop laughing.
Well, now I feel like I'm on the spot to make yummy sounds.
I know.
It's got intense.
I'm feeling a little nervous.
All right, I'm wearing the wrong shirt for the yummy sounds, aren't I?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, let's just think about these donuts that we had before we started this podcast.
Oh, they were so good.
I had a vanilla frosted donut, which is like super classic. One of my favorite fucking things to eat.
A chocolate frosted donut, also another classic.
Are there any left?
I'm not sure. There may be one.
Because now I really want a chocolate one.
And then the
vanilla one was delicious.
Yummy sounds.
Yeah, that's how we're gonna make these yummy sounds. We need. Oh yes, our producer Nathaniel has produced my chocolate donut.
Oh, right. I think that one's maple.
Oh my God, even better. Oh, maple is one of my favorite flavors of donut. There's a bakery in Hoopston, Illinois, that made Persian donuts that were the best fucking Persian donuts I've ever had.
I've never had a Persian donut.
Oh, it's this gigantic, massive thing the size of your head, covered with maple frosting and lots of nuts. And it's a cinnamon bun donut.
Oh. Well, I don't really like maple frosting, personally.
Ugh. They do them in chocolate,
hell
too.
Yes.
They're really fucking
good.
I
feel like the past couple of weeks, I have said hell yes more than I have breathed. It's fucking ridiculous.
Hold on. I feel my yummy sound coming. Mmm. How was that?
Mmm.
Veronica wins.
Oh, I win.
You're so genuine.
Yeah.
I could feel like well, I was a donut.
What? Like the donut is not in there screaming.
Okay, whose turn is it?
Caitlin.
Is it mine?
We're still playing this game, except now we have donuts. It's your turn, Caitlin.
Just don't get donut on the card.
Tampax. Don't let your period ruin blank. I'm just going to sit here and eat my donut.
Oh, man.
Okay, read it to me one more time.
Damn it. Tampax. Don't let your period ruin blank.
Okay. This one is pretty funny. Nathaniel, hand that to Caitlin for me, please.
Thanks, dude.
I couldn't get up because I have a donut in my hand. I'm so sorry.
Yes.
This is me just producing Journey into Comics Network. This is Butt Stuff Podcast. If you're not listening, you
don't
fucking
be fancy.
Suck.
You're our card, bitch.
Get out of here.
Deal with it.
Okay.
Tampax, don't let your period ruin driving my daughter to her abortion.
Dark.
Wow.
Damn.
Tampax, don't let your period ruin an upside down card. How bloody that dick's about to be. Gross. I guess the abortion.
That was not my card. Okay. That was Joanna's.
I love abortion cards.
God.
I think my favorite ones. I know it's awful.
Okay. Was it my turn?
We love you regardless.
It's my turn. Can a woman really have it all? A career and blank.
What weave is it?
Yay.
Gretchen's over there doing chainmail.
Gretchen is making me an amazing purple and green bracelet. Yeah, the earthy D colors, because I need that in my misfit life.
Nate.
God damn, Gretchen. Can't get over you. Oh, thanks, Nate. Okay, I've got my cards. Can a woman really have it all? A career and an 8-foot man smoking a 6-foot bong? Hot damn. Can a woman really have it all? A career and always infinity extra heavy overnight pads with wings. I'm going to go with the 6-foot bong and the 8-foot man.
Good evening. It's time for Brews with Dudes. Hello there, everyone. I'm Nick Maxson, your host. I am joined once again by the illustrious Dr. Dongo. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. How about yourself, pal?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm feeling pretty saucome.
Yeah.
Austin Hill is joining us one more time.
Yo.
Just one more time.
Yeah, this Never is the last again. One for him. Never again. Episode 3, final for Austin.
Man, I on my way here, I picked up a 20-piece nugget from Wendy's, and they have this new stuff called Saucome Sauce. And it's just the best thing ever.
It's just delectable. I'm thinking about just popping one open and tonguing it out.
Hey, know, just... They're there. They're
hey,
there
there's two
you.
There. You want to tongue it out together?
You first.
I haven't had the Szechuan sauce from McDonald's.
Me
but,
neither. It can't live up.
It's not going to live up to your expectations.
Okay. Well, I'm lucky I have the Saucome sauce then. That is readily available.
Saucome beats Szechuan, I think.
As an enjoyer of Rick and Morty, I can't say I'm a fanboy. I never got myself thinking I'm smarter than everybody else because I watch a cartoon.
You're not pretentious about your Rick and Morty fandom?
No.
Some would argue you're not doing it right then.
Some would. But some would also think a cartoon makes them smarter than everybody else.
There are some of those folks.
So today, I have already decided my costume for next year.
Is it Deadpool?
It could be Deadpool related, but I am completely okay if it is not Deadpool related.
I feel like I fell short on my group costume idea this year.
Yeah.
As in, all of us going as our comic selves from the Chris Charles comics.
Oh, yeah. We came up with that idea way too late. If I don't do my idea, I am down to do that next year.
I think we should just prep for that anyway, because those costumes are going to be really easy.
Do you guys just want to do it for LaFiCon?
There we go.
Yeah. We have till like April, I think, or whenever it is.
I think I need to get a Viking helmet and a sword.
I just need to get some kind of box item, a loincloth, and I don't know. Some,
we need to get we'll figure it out. Wooden water bucket with eye holes and Viking horns on it for you. Nick needs a rad red shirt with a ponytail and bangs.
You need to get
those
bangs. I'm halfway there.
You
need to get those bangs, man. Yeah, I'm very okay with my costume next year, whether it's Deadpool-y or not. I'm just gonna go ahead and reveal it. Did you guys remember the show Doug on Nickelodeon?
Oh yes. Are you gonna be Skeeter?
I'm gonna be
Doug Pool.
No, I'm gonna be Quail Man.
Quail Pool.
I've always wanted to do it, but today I was just like, you know what? I'm doing it next year. Unless I come up with something better. I hope unless next year there is a new basic bitch costume.
You are the first to go for the basic
bitch.
This year I was planning on doing the a week before Halloween. I was at the Halloween store with my girlfriend and I saw all the Wonder Woman costumes. I'm like, why don't I just do that again? But then I was like, you know what? Wonder Woman isn't nearly as trashy as Harley Quinn. I can't make Wonder Woman look as trashy as Harley Quinn.
Oh, yes, you can.
I mean, I could, but nah.
I wrote a haiku about how trashy Wonder Woman is.
Let's hear it.
I have not memorized it.
All right, so...
And my haiku is more about a Wonder Woman pest dispenser and how trashy it is, because you just rip her head back and take what is sweet within.
Wow.
Leaving her empty.
So next on the docket is my beer that I brought. It is the Immortal IPA by Elysian.
And one Justin Hoffman would say it's owned by Budweiser.
Budweiser? So we're breaking the Justin Hoffman rule, but it's okay.
Because we don't care.
Because we don't give a fuck.
6.3% alcohol by volume. What is the IBU? I don't see it anywhere.
Oh, it's got a very strong amber taste.
It smells like it's bitter, so the IBUs are probably high.
Let's see. The imagery where I'm looking at, it looks like Zeus clutching a lightning bolt.
Good.
It's lit. It's not nearly as cloudy as the Sex and Candy. Is it on there?
But the amber color
gives a little synapse over here.
Okay,
like.
So the Immortal India Pale Ale. Refreshing, hoppy, and well-balanced, the Immortal is a Northwest take on a classic English style. Golden copper in color and loaded with New World hop flavor and aroma.
That face, Austin. The one I just made. There's no words I'm going to use to describe the beer better than that face.
I think I gave the same face right back at you.
I didn't see it.
It's kind of like a sideways face, like a...
Is that a disappointment face?
It's a not quite. It's a taste that I've tasted in a lot of different beers, but I've not yet figured out exactly how to describe it.
It's very front heavy with the flavor, and it just
I just got a whiff of it. Wow,
drops out of the back.
It hits your tongue immediately. Yeah, and then it's not that bad on the down, but
on the down, it's very like just cool and refreshing, and there's not a whole lot of flavor that wraps up and goes down with it, but it's all up front.
So I'm just
getting that.
I've had this one before. And I've taken a couple drinks of this. I'll be the first to say, I believe, did we do an Elysian on episode one?
Did we? I don't think so.
Yes, we did.
No, we did. We did.
But my point being is that I believe this is the second or third Elysian that we've had. And well, it's not on my list. No.
We had an Elysian this coming week.
last week on Podcastrophy, we had the Day Glow. That's what I'm thinking of. And the Day Glow... No offense, Immortal.
Excellent.
Blows this one out of the water.
Excellent.
The Dayglow is probably my favorite Elysian right now. Although Space Dust is definitely up there, too.
Yeah. Space Dust is very similar to Zombie Dust.
This tastes like I need a A bowl of pretzels. A bowl of pretzels and a 1980s football game in front of me.
Mm-hmm. And my self-esteem needs to be just rooting a little lower.
Rooting for the Jets in Brooklyn. That's where this beer takes me.
I don't know if I can get more specific than that. I'm down for it, though. It's very tasty.
Yeah, it's not bad.
In a room full of Giants fans.
It's not bad at all. I wouldn't buy it again.
This is better than what we brought last time.
Oh, this is is worlds better than what I brought
last
time.
Just a little less ridiculous.
This is worse than what you brought last time.
I forgot. Your number one was the ridiculous.
It's okay.
Yeah.
It's all right. It's all right. But somebody has to like it.
Have you wanted to buy anything you've bought again?
That's fair. For the record, the first episode, I didn't buy anything.
Ooh.
That's true.
So, two for two, I show up and he doesn't want to bring it back.
It was arranged. It was arranged on the first one that I didn't buy.
That's true.
I made arrangements with Nick ahead of time. Mm-hmm. Said, hey, I'm not going to have time.
Oh, I do have to ask you, since we spoke a little bit about it last week, when did you choose this one this time?
I chose this one. I'm going to tell you right now. I chose that one about 20 minutes before I arrived here.
Not bad.
At the Barberry right beside Wendy's on Veterans Memorial. Not a very big selection of alcohol.
Oh, man. If I had known you were over there, I would have told you to go to the 350 liquor store.
That's where I got
the best selection.
That's where I got the Founders last week.
Besides the Bedrock Liquors in Dayton, which that's where I've been going.
Really?
Ooh. And it is
I haven't been there yet, but they close so early.
Eastway Liquors over on Greenbush and 52 has a solid selection as well.
That's where I used to go to get my Three Floyds, but I haven't been there in a while.
They've actually expanded since then.
That's interesting. That makes me want to go back.
I used to live over there, so I used to go that way, too. 350 Liquors is generally where I pick up my beer.
I stopped going to 350. I used to go there because it's right off of me leaving work, so it's like right there. Yeah.
Right.
And they've really disappointed me. They've started to really fall short. But I started going there when they were first expanding their craft beer selection, and it's really fallen stale for me. It's a lot of the same thing.
I just chose Barberry this time because I was at Wendy's.
And it was right there.
Picking up my nugs and saw some sauce, and it was right there, yeah.
Solid grab, Dongo.
At least the Sawsome sauce was. The Elysian, also a solid grab, but I'm going to have to hand it to the Sawsome sauce for being better.
Sawsome sauce takes it again.
So far, Sawsome sauce is number one for the night. Followed by Sex and Candy.
The Sex and Candy I will have over the Sawsome sauce.
I like how you got the nugs as only a vehicle for the Sawsome sauce.
Yes.
Like, you could have probably got fries or something. The same thing.
I have done fries with the Sawsome sauce, and it is also excellent.
But you opened up with, can I get 6 packs of Sawsome sauce? And then, what do I want with my Sawsome sauce? that's kind of how the order went.
I'm going to tell you right now, I may be exaggerating, but that is exactly how the order went.
Pretty much.
No, there's no exaggeration.
It may have happened. It may not have happened. I may have ordered a 20-piece nugget and just been like,
I feel like his girlfriend over here is just nodding. That's what he did.
Ah, the phantom, as she's referred to.
The phantom nod.
Journey into Comics so far. She will make an appearance eventually.
Maybe, she will. Maybe she'll want to jump in and say something about the bruise at one point. She's not acting like she likes that idea.
She doesn't like beer.
Even better.
Yet. This is a big part of Dongo's journey doing this podcast. He's trying so many new beers.
I am, and I'm always down for it.
Actually, I'm really enjoying this with Dongo, trying new beers and expanding his palate.
Yes. Because, I won't ever go out of my way and buy new beers for myself just to try. But if it's offered to me, I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll try that. Or like this podcast, for instance, it gives me an excuse to try it. It's
right.
It's a game almost. It's,
We've had quite a few people asking the page, sending messages,
yeah,
asking about coming and being a part of it.
Oh, that is so awesome.
People want to.
That is so awesome.
It's a cool concept.
I'm so happy for you, man.
We've gone up. Well, your page has gone up. I can't say we. I said we because we're here. But the page, I noticed, has gone up 24 viewers since the last time we did a podcast.
We're killing it. I think people were liking it. I'm interested to see some numbers on if anyone's paying attention or if it's just us listening to it, which is, sometimes you just got to talk to yourself.
I hate to be that guy, but I'm going to strongly encourage burping into the mic.
Yeah. All right. Unless you're able to burp on command, we don't just need it filled with burps all night. Austin, who immediately starts pounding his chest.
He immediately just goes for it.
He's like, all right, let me see if I can rip a couple out.
No, I felt like I've been holding it down for too long. It's bubbling a little low.
It looked like you're about to puke.
Maybe.
That's what Dongo looked like when he was trying some of those beers the other week.
Well, this time I finished first, probably because I wanted to get it over with.
If you're not first, you're last.
So Nick just slams his beer.
That's okay.
Okay. Okay. Ugh. That was okay. I'm gonna go 5.5. Not quite 6.
On the juicy scale?
Not even on juicy, just on juicy. In terms of enjoyment.
In terms of endearment.
Oh, I don't endear the immortal.
Oh no.
Sorry, Elysian. That one didn't do it. I feel like I've had this a couple times now. It just hasn't grown on me. I'm going to find the word eventually to describe what was so strong about that. It tasted like
it should have been nutty and it
lots
wasn't.
Of rye.